Yeah, I'm gonna need that tonight.
Okay, I'm drinking the tea.
What? Celsius.
I'm drinking. Oh, because you fishbowled it yesterday.
That was Friday. Glenn fishbowled it with me.
I don't.
I have.
I had a sip.
Oh, you did.
Listen, you fucking enabler.
We were talking about it. We're like, Jesus Christ.
Jennifer, I was not like you impressed the hell out of me, and I. Like,
you drink like a 20-year-old or like a 17-year-old, a 17-year-old me, to be honest with you, because I did all of my drinking and drugs before I even turned 21. Like,
that's a good strategy.
Like, for real. Like, yeah, like once I got to where I was like, okay, and I moved in with Jenny, it was literally like I was like starting to chill out because I had already been a bartender and I'd already had that life. And I was like, I'm tired.
I had my daughter pretty young. Like I was 23 when I had Gabby. So like I really didn't get a whole misspent youth because like I was busy being a mom. So
oh, I don't think any of it's misspent per se. I'm just not spending it with you every time. My Lord. From the dinner table just outside the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, where we score with Jamal and Brad can do it all.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I'm not going to fault you for something that's actually like decent. That one was good.
No, that was good. I'm not laughing at that at all because it was so banger. Bang on accurate. Yep.
That's about as good a compliment as I ever get from y'all. I'm just not going to fault you.
I'm so glad that none of our kits have purple in it because I don't know what the hell you would do.
I'm about as far as away from like Roman Reigns acknowledge me as I'm ever going to get with these two. It is the Five Takes podcast and we are back.
We're back, baby.
Like earthquakes in the Northeast. I am not talking about San Jose. Apparently there was an earthquake.
There was. It was a 4.7.
On the East Coast. Have either of y'all been in an earthquake or any other type of natural disaster apart from being a Chelsea Football Club supporter? We couldn't beat Sheffield.
No, you couldn't. That was
impressive.
Yeah, there are some really non-impressive draws out there, and Atlanta United's had quite a few of them. Lord knows. But that one was like, I went, oh no.
you know what the good news is, Glenn? The season's almost done. You only got like 3 matches left.
End it's it now.
True. Yeah.
They're already relegated. They're already relegated.
Yeah, it's not good. What was good
was getting a point on the road.
Yes.
Finally, we get some points on the road. I would have preferred a win. I think the win was there. Etienne.
But I literally went back and looked at that like 6 different ways, by the way. I kept hitting go back 10 seconds, go back 10 seconds. And the only thing that I can say about that header is that it had to have glanced off the side of his head. And so like when he went to
it went
like this.
No, he put direction on that.
I don't think so. I think he muffed it.
Yes, he did. Quit absolving.
I'm gonna enter. Okay, y'all stop arguing.
I think if he hits here, he scores. No,
he had no angle on it. He was facing away from the goal, and he was off to the side of the net. He was trying to head it to. I don't remember who was.
You think he was heading it back?
He was heading it to the center of the box.
He was trying to hit.
Yeah, and the New York defender just blocked it entirely. It was like blocking a pass.
He was trying to put it in the path of, I think that was Mascara.
Yes.
Running up on it. I think he could have done more with it.
I think he definitely had the angle. Like I said, if he hits it with the front of his forehead and just heads it down.
But also, he buries it. Apparently, I'm potting with 2 Etienne apologists here.
No,
I'm talking with you. I know you're not.
We're students of the game, and we understand how anyone in that situation, if they do it differently, they do it better. What I will say is, so we're just going to chalk it up to another Derek Etienne handling of the ball mistake.
He is a take later on.
I know.
I'm saving it.
What's to be expected.
But you asked about natural disasters. I have been in multiple natural disasters. I've been in 2 earthquakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2 earthquakes. One in Costa Rica, one in Mexico. That was fun. And then I don't know how many hurricanes. Been in a lot of those.
I was in Hurricane Hugo in 1989. It hit the East Coast, right. And it came as far inland as Charlotte because that's where I was living still. Yep. Okay. We did have a pine tree hit our house. Luckily, it didn't cause that much damage. It was really one of those where they had to kind of just like roll it off the side of the house and then cut it down. We were very, very, very lucky. We were out without power for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. It really wasn't that bad, but it was enough that like when the tree hit, I fucking remember that. Like I was 5 to age myself. But more importantly, my wife was in bed at, I think it's 5:03 when the Northridge earthquake hit in Los Angeles. So she has some core memories of the Northridge earthquake.
I personally didn't feel the little tremor flutter that we had. I didn't feel anything.
Nah.
Did y'all feel anything?
Me neither.
No. Okay.
I will say this though, because it was fairly minor, obviously. Some of the TikTok, the devastation videos are pretty funny. Like somebody showed their like salt shaker had fallen over. It was like doo, 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 doo.
So
like,
my corporate office is up on Long Island, and I was working, and so I'm on Skype, and one of my coworkers is Skyping me like, we're having an earthquake. I'm like, what? What do you mean you're having an earthquake? You're in
what
New York
now?
New York doesn't get like right now. And he was like, yeah, well, we thought it was a truck going by. And then we realized it wasn't a truck going by because it was still happening.
Very
and
large
we're
truck.
We're sitting there and things are shaking everywhere. And we're like, did we just have an earthquake? Yeah, I think we just had an earthquake. It was, yeah.
But that should tell you a little something about it, though. You're like, did we?
I mean, you won't really feel an earthquake of more than of less than about 4.5, 5 magnitude, right? Like, other than that, like, you have to be relatively sensitive to notice the difference between like your normal everyday like walking around and oh hey the ground beneath me is shaking.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know it has to be pretty strong for it to be noticeable. And yeah, I don't know, my favorite natural disaster story was getting evacuated out of Cancun ahead of Hurricane Wilma.
Sure.
Which basically destroyed all of Cancun. This is about almost 20 years ago now. It was unbelievably frightening. I didn't think we were, it was the worst flight I've ever taken in my life, because we actually climbed up through it and we were the
up
sixth,
and over it. Fuck
yeah,
hell.
We were the sixth to the last, I was on the sixth to the last plane to take off before they closed the airport down.
And they
completely.
Were like, yeah, like, no. Too
they said you're gonna be sitting off. Yeah, you're gonna be sitting for the first 45 minutes of the flight, because you know the threshold that a 737 can take is about 35 knots of wind, and the winds were anywhere between 29 and 33 at time of takeoff, like that was rather frightening. But I of course was well stocked, because I had managed a hurricane incident where we had a bunch of clients that had gotten stuck in Punta Cana the year before. And this is before Punta Cana got developed. And the only way to get out to some of the hotels was like these dirt roads. I used to call them two bra roads, where you would have to wear two bras to keep your boobs from hitting you in the chin going over the potholes. So
Glenn's like, I have no idea what that's like. That sounds horrible. Me and Jennifer are both like, yeah.
Yeah, you were right there with me. I saw you.
I can't relate.
I go down like when I just after I had my daughter, if I went down one whole flight of stairs, I was getting a black eye. So you're like, oh my god.
These people out of this hotel where they had been stuck for 5 days in the Dominican Republic was on garbage trucks, because they were the only trucks that had wheels that could actually navigate the absolute mud flats that these roads were.
And okay, that's like, what are they putting people in the back? Because you know, there's only like 3 or 4 to a cab.
Yeah, basically they were these flatbed trucks that they were pulling people out of there on.
Yeah.
So I had heard that they
steak
were making
beds,
people.
Glenn.
Live on canned tuna fish and peas. And I was like, I can't do that if we get stuck here. I hate canned tuna fish. So wait. I walk around like
this. But she loves peas.
The peas wouldn't have been so bad. But like the best part is I'm walking around the swanky hotel that I'm staying at, and they got all the doors open because they're pulling all the art out of the rooms to try to save it, box it up, and whatever.
And we're really worried.
I pulled I thought we were going to get stuck there for days.
Do you remember what category Wilma was?
Wilma was a high-end Cat 4. It was actually at the time, and it is still the strongest hurricane ever in the Caribbean Basin.
You know where we might get stuck for days? Talking about weather. Talking about weather.
Anyway, long story short, I pulled all the snacks out of the mini bar. Like, I pulled out 50 pounds. I pulled out 12.
The M&Ms and the vodka.
Yeah, that
save
too.
The little bits of vodka.
If you ever wanted to know
what to do,
what's
in a
Jennifer
hurricane?
Like? What are
this
her priorities?
This is Jennifer, not in a
you
nutshell.
You know, there's a life-threatening event happening. Snacks.
Yeah, snacks. You don't Please. Sum Jennifer up in a nutshell. You sum her up in a fishbowl.
Yep. Filled
Moving
with,
right along.
Filled
Moving
with
right
booze.
Along.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Sorry
okay.
Anyway, yes. So.
Got it.
I was not carrying 60 pounds of vodka and mini bar snacks on my back while we watched this match today.
The two bra road killed me.
Sorry.
You know, hashtag speaking sorry. Of being properly supported, it's a brilliant segue into thanking Mason Mill. If you need a little extra support yourself, you've been going down some bumpy roads in a natural disaster. You've been lugging around 60 pounds of booze and back's feeling it a bit.
I thought he was going to say 60 pounds of boobs.
Both. Front and back. You're carrying a load front and back. You're carrying a load.
If you don't know, hashtag if you know, you know. Because I'm telling you how bad your back hurts from carrying 60 pounds of boobs. It's true.
Go to Mason Mill. They can help you out either way. They deal with this stuff all the time.
They do.
They deal with this stuff all the time. Give them a call. 404-321-0082. Ashley or Rachel will be on the other end of the line, and they will set you up with your appointment with Dr. Cohen or Dr. Farisi over in Decatur, Georgia, off McConnell Mill Drive. And you can find them on the web, masonmillcairo.com. Phenomenal chiropractor. We've been going there for a long, long time. Promise we wouldn't just take any support just because they want to support us. We actually are only interested in promoting things that we are passionate about, that we care about, that we've vetted, that we've tried. And that will always hold true for any sponsors that we bring onto this pod. We will never take anyone's money just for the sake of taking it. We're going to do it because we believe in whatever we're talking about. So go see them. They will take very good care of you. All right. Shall we move into, you want to do low-key man of the match?
Let's do low-key. Yeah.
All right. Let me kick it off. I am going to go with Derek Williams.
Me too.
He's featured, I think, amongst probably you guys, a couple of others as well. This guy, man, what a good, like, if I can make a baseball reference, Alex Anthopoulos
sure.
type signing. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to compare Boca to double A, but he's made better signings lately. And actually, we're going to get into somebody's thoughts on that, on Boca and the role he's playing and fairly, you know, credit where it's due, criticism where it's due. Derek
has been.
Big
mentality change, though. Big mentality change in
for sure.
Boca. And
Derek
being a big part of it.
Yep. And that's the type of signing that I think we needed, that we're probably going to see more of. This man is just going about his business quietly, effectively, making the tackles when he needs to be. Like, he's really not putting too many feet wrong. And he is improving the area that needed the most improvement. Let's be real. Like, defensively is where we needed somebody like him.
Right.
And I bet you he's going to pop up low key and man of the match
all the time.
A bunch more times.
Low key as well with him is he's doing a really amazing job mentoring a lot of the young players, but Noah Cobb in particular.
For real.
And if you've heard any interviews with Noah Cobb and Noah Cobb having played both of these matches now, everything he's saying is, you know, what he's learning about how to communicate, but how to communicate effectively on the back line. And he's given Derek Williams all the credit in the world in helping him, you know, and helping him grow in the role and get his feet under him. So, like, not only is he actually, you know, turned into, I think, a higher quality center back than any of us had any idea that he was, but he's also stepping in and, like, bridging the gap of generations that we kind of have between, you know, developing players and veteran presence. And that, I think, is really laudable because it's not always on players to step up and act like that.
Agreed. Do you want to expand on the quickly on the point that about Boca and the role he's playing? And
You read the take we got?
All right. So, Amy Marie on our Twitter, when we put it out there and we asked for your low key man of the match, she's going Carlos. She's going Carlos Bocanegra for low key man of the match. And frankly, this season, she says, Derek Williams off waivers.
Thank you.
Think about the signings from last summer to now. Not a single whiff. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Sure.
Not one. Guys who want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Check.
And guys who love the crest, guys who fit the system. Mm-hmm. Come at me, Boca haters.
Check. I don't think anybody, at least for now, I don't think she's going to get any, I don't think she's going to get any blowback from that. I honestly think that's a very, very good.
If you're getting blowback at this point, you're just wanting to vent about Boca.
You're not paying attention. And we say that all the time. It's like, look, we may have all said, I know maybe at least at one point, mm-hmm. all of us probably said, okay, it's time, Boca out. Maybe just at one point, we've all said it maybe at least once. But again, situations change. People can improve on their situations. And again, if you're just saying it now, you're just a hater and you're not paying attention.
It really makes me wonder, like I think the larger question I have is, you know, as you know, the technical director, that's his job, right? How sure. much of the directional decision making is he having a hand in? That's my wider question in all of this, because yeah,
now or prior, maybe
both in both instances, because before the type, you know, before Darren left, the types of, and you know, look, we all love Darren as a human and we all love Darren for what he did for this club.
Yeah.
But was he putting more emphasis on visibility and media presence and who he was maybe directing Boca to bring in
maybe.
And how to manage those signings as opposed to long-term stable growth and development of the identity? Was it Boca's job to continue to put this club on the map with big splashy signings as opposed to dealing with, you know, the painful, really heartbreaking decisions, having to let a lot of people go
Boca had a tough job. He's got to get the franchise started and then he's got to transition.
Right.
We need a new
board. And how many times? How many times have we
needed,
every time
we needed Garth to come in and start that new era. Right.
The coaches too. Every time we had a new coach, things had to shift. There was a dynamic shift because that plays into it too.
Yeah.
So every time we got new players in, every time a coaching change happened, and yes, when Garth came in, every time there is a shift, and he has to be, and if he's going to be the one, if he's that one constant, then it matters what he does.
It's an interesting discussion because Boca's contract is up at the end of the year.
This is not going to be a simple thing anymore with him. It's not, because of how well things are going, how well the signings have gone. It's not going to be a simple thing. I'm here for that. Great. I want improvement. I want success.
I think our postseason contention this year will have a lot to do with it.
For sure.
How healthy everybody stays and how much these recent signings have an impact on the game. But so far, so fucking good. So,
any other low key man of the match? We got some other takes and stuff that kind of coincide with the other.
My low key man of the match is Jason Longshore. Are you kidding me?
So he calls, she believes, gets on a plane. Conti actually spotted his plane landing, posted that on Twitter from the ballpark. And he made it. And my goodness.
Well, I mean, I got to give him some snaps for, and I didn't get to hear the She Believes call, but my boyfriend listened to it and he has not stopped talking about, and this is a guy who grew up listening to Braves radio, like that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a man who's like super into, like, you know, the Skip and Pete and Don and like all of that,
love
right?
them.
He gets it,
miss
right?
them. Love them,
and
miss them.
To hear him compare Jason in that same discussion and like what
in
Jason
the same,
yeah, mm-hmm. that was really, I mean, like the quality of the call that we're getting, and to be able to just pivot and go from a completely different type of match with a national team match.
Yeah, it's not that easy. Just switch like that. He is the godfather of soccer in Atlanta, and we got to keep appreciating what he and Mike in 92.9 and everybody that's been involved with growing the sport here. What we witnessed this past weekend with She Believes, and you can listen to part two of the Women's Football Forum to get caught up on our thoughts on the match, the growth of the game, and all of that. We can't take this for granted. This isn't normal what we have here. Anytime that Taylor Twellman or anybody else says, well, this is what Atlanta does, it is, but we can't take that for granted. This didn't just happen. And that's a really good shout for him. I'm really happy that he's getting this recognition, that he's getting more opportunity. This man works so hard. He's covering national team. He's covering Atlanta United. He's covering high school soccer.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the dude is everywhere
from the ground up.
So much heart.
And he, and that's
so much passion.
That is, yeah, it's all heart and passion because nobody's writing him a check to go out to Shambly.
He's getting paid, but he ain't getting paid.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I can't imagine that the accommodation for any of that is really like, you know,
he ain't making bank on it.
It's not buying him, it's not buying him a beach house. So you got to imagine how much he's just doing this for the passion of the game and for helping everybody out that he feels deserves it. So yeah, definitely. I agree with you, Jennifer. I think that's a great one. I think that's awesome.
All right. Fair enough. We have a few other takes and we'll get into those when we get into the takes, which is now. Here we go.
hey, transitions.
Hey, we got stuff to do tonight. We got two episodes to record tonight.
Right.
We got to go. All right. So, number one, considering how well we've been performing on the defensive end of the ball, that's just frustrating to give up a goal like that. It's soft.
It's like, it is soft.
It taps him on the shoulder. Hello, excuse me. And he goes down. But look, we would do it too.
Yeah,
if we would. If your ghost feels contact in the box, what are you taught to do? Stand up? No, you're going to go down.
Right.
So you can't, Moyumba, and it wasn't just shoulder to shoulder. He does extend his arm.
He does
reach out and around.
He does, and
you're
going to
go down.
Does he pull him around, or does
I don't think it's enough contact
and then go down?
Like, I've had more contact be bumped into the airport than that, and shockingly, I've been able to stay upright.
We had more contact walking through the concourse yesterday.
That's right.
In between,
I would have
matches.
Fallen over so many times. But look. It's you can't do that. You can't give the referee the chance, and I'm not mad at the ref.
Contact.
He went and did VAR, and I'll be honest, I want the call to go away. In the grand scheme of things, in the game, and how I want games to be called and officiated, I'm kind of glad that he just, you know what, I'm gonna stick with my call.
Yeah,
I don't need to micro this.
And I think that's
probably
how it
went. He probably looked at
it
and goes, you know what? No, I'm not an idiot. He didn't yank him down.
No.
But I'm going to stick with my call. There's contact.
There's enough contact.
And we don't need to re-referee a match. I don't want to see that. So I hate the call. I don't agree with the initial call. But that's how the game's got to go. And as long as it's being called the same,
and we would wish the same for ourselves.
You know,
if
and
we,
I know
if we watch that back, and we don't get the call, then we're like, oh, but he yanks on him. If there's contact. It's got to be a foul.
So
that's a foul anywhere on the field. It's a foul in the box. It's got to be a penalty.
It's soft
contact, but it was right.
In the same vein, though, I don't know how was it Gray? Is that the player with the reddish hair? For
yes,
him.
That was Gray.
I don't know how the hell he was still on the pitch after.
Me neither. The amount of times he's screaming at the ref.
That bad tackle and the amount of dissent.
Yeah, that's exactly. He's screaming at the ref.
That's my issue is that, okay, I will shut up and take my soft penalty because there was contact in the box and that was the play on the field. And it's got to be clear and obvious to overturn it. And it wasn't clear and obvious.
Agreed.
So there you go. But like, you know, we are never going to fix the problem with the diving and the questionable calls and this judgment thing unless these refs get serious about dissent.
Yeah. No, I agree. No. Yeah. Demand the respect that you deserve because I mean, I love that they started giving a card when you hop up and do the card. If people are screaming at you, like who was it? Like, didn't one of our players get like,
Caleb Wiley.
Was it Tiago or Caleb?
It was Tiago. No, it was Tiago.
Like,
it was
Tiago.
Yeah.
Three game ban for yelling at the ref?
Yep.
That's just got to be consistent across. That's got to be consistent across. And we're still lacking consistency, but the call itself, if we see that consistently called, no problem.
Right. And so when we finished the match last night, this is what I went, okay, we got a draw on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the worst result that could have happened. Mm-hmm. Could we have won? Yes. The penalty was soft. We got a goal from open play. They did not. And it was a fantastic open play.
That's a good
goal.
Way to look at it.
So that was my sum up. It's like if I took five whole takes from like three sentences, it was basically that. And that's the only way I looked at it was that our play was better. We got a goal from open play. Theirs was a soft penalty. Could we have won the game minus the penalty? Absolutely.
Okay.
It would have been ours. It would have been our game.
It should have been ours.
Number two,
at
JW Kite on Twitter, thank you for the comment, kind of agrees with the tone of this one in that he thinks it was a fractured, frantic match, not a lot of flow, kind of lucky to not be down by more at the half. I kind of agree. Both teams created as many opportunities for the other as they did for themselves like you've been saying, they got a little fortunate with their gold. You know, we provided everything but the finish for the majority of the match till Jamal does his thing. But yeah, I mean, a draw is fair. I mean, this is the first time we've undershot for what it's worth. Our XG was like over 3.
Yeah, that was gold. I was like, wow.
The chances are there. That's positive. That's good.
I think Thiago was a little better this match. I don't know if everybody's going to agree with me on that.
There's a lot of people questioning. So? We'll get to that. But there's a lot of people questioning Thiago's level, which is fine. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with questioning a player's level and their performance and how they're doing. I'll push back a little bit on playing for the badge and the commitment, because I think that's a hard thing to judge and quantify. Yeah. So I don't like when we get into that, because you're not in the player's head. But fair enough to criticize him on not being up to his standards. The standards he's set for himself, and we've come to expect, and we were missing that quality.
I think I might have said this last week, I can't remember, but like I do think it has taken him longer to integrate from the squad.
Agreed.
Because, you know, we didn't have a full preseason from him, right? Yeah. And you know, again, I'm not
that has a lingering effect.
Yeah, but there's a lingering. So I think last week we finally started to see him playing with the same sense of abandon and, you know, beautiful and the beautiful game with the dribbles and the, you know, all of that starting to open up, because he's finally got some chemistry going with the midfield pairing and the new back line. And like, you know, considering he's the end of the connective piece, he's got to know where the ball's coming from in order to continue to push it forward.
Look, there's a lot of people questioning that.
I don't know how you question his heart and his commitment to the badge when you see the way he responds on the field to his teammates.
I agree with you.
You know,
and it's no disrespect to anyone that, like, I'm not trying to push back on the opinion of, like, you know, Kim Wood and Footy Mob said that he just seems uninterested. And I'm not trying to push back. I'm not trying to push back against someone's opinion. Like, we all see the game differently. You know, we feel it differently.
It's not pushback. You don't have to agree with what everybody says. Like,
yeah, but I guess I am pushing back. I don't want to discount someone. Like, your opinion is valid.
Of course not.
But I just don't think we should get into questioning, like you were saying, Jennifer, like the commitment. Like, that's, you just can't. Right. It's not so easy a thing to define. But it's fair to say that he hasn't been as instrumental, you know, as sharp, as fluid, as pulling the strings, as it were. So no disrespect to Kim.
That's the thing. I think that is he firing on all cylinders? No,
right.
I'm less worried about it now. If we still have him after July and after the Olympics are over, and we're getting into, you know, September,
that'll be interesting, right?
Like, and then he's not firing on all cylinders, I'll be worried. We're still really early in
the season. We are.
Yeah. And can I say too, I think he needs a goal. You know, like, I think he needs a goal.
He's got a goal.
I think
he needs a not penalty goal.
No, that's not what I mean. Yeah. I want an open play goal because he's taking all the same shots that he likes to take. He almost got one, that one where he slammed into the woodwork. That would have been spectacular because of the way that he does his little Thiago thing.
He
spun around. He took the ball with him. He's doing a lot of ball handling, and then he just slammed it in the woodwork. Right. If that had been a goal, what a huge coming together that can feel like. You know, it's everybody comes around you and swarms you, and that's got to feel
good too.
I think that might help break the ice if he can get something like that. That may help too.
Okay. Well, on top of missing Almada, we were missing Gigi's.
We were
presence as well, missing his big frame to help it get on frame. On top of being a great goal scorer, which he is, it's just his strength. It's just his hold up play that's been so key. And he's our best aerial threat to date.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Joseph and all that. I'm talking strictly going up and winning something with your head.
Just because, like, he's big.
Yeah, that Etienne moment, like, I don't know. There were a couple moments. It's not FIFA. You can't just sub a player in and he would have got that because he would have been in the exact same position as the other player. Like, I'm not saying that, but he provides something in the air that we've never really had. No disrespect to Air Force One. Magical moments, great.
Yeah,
but that wasn't Juanjo's primary job. we've never had a striker as good in the air
as
Gigi is.
Every single,
and we missed that.
Every single corner kick, every single free kick that is possible to get into the box is a possibility for him to score. We never had that.
Yep.
Well, and I think I don't know. Maybe we did. Maybe we did with Joseph, but not in the same. Quite the same sense.
No, that's not vintage Joseph.
I think what we really, you know, again, it was all about clinical finish. We had so many chances, and you said in the second take, like, you know, this was back and forth. This was open play. This is what, you know, being on a narrow short pitch will do for the game. And we continue to have issues being clinical in the box. That's the piece that's been missing. That's, we just talked about it with Thiago. He's had this in the last two matches. He has probably had four or five shots that, you know, depending on circumstance last year would have absolutely gone in just the way he was playing. So like those, but it wasn't just him. I mean, it was Noah Cobb where, you know, and look, credit to Mr. Freeze or whatever the heck New York City's goalie's name is, like, he had himself a night last night.
He did. He made a couple of really good saves too.
If you look out of there, like, he made seven or eight actual saves. Like,
you know who else?
Yeah, you take those out of there. Those are some excellent goals.
I'd just like to point out there's another keeper that also had an excellent night last night and is having a season of seasons. I mean, I know Yorgo's stated goal is that golden boot. Brad might have something to say about a golden glove.
He's certainly trying for it. I mean,
keeping it out of the net.
He has in two seasons.
He's keeping it out of the net, and now he's putting it in the other one.
Oh my God, what a hot ball, that
ball, I know it's a shorter pitch, and that opportunity was there. I should have included that in the high five about that being a point, something to look for distribution.
Yeah.
That ball. Are you serious?
Are you serious? It's not something he seemed capable of doing last year. And that may have been
not like
this.
I don't think he had the leg last
whatever.
Year.
He was not getting anywhere near as much distance or drive or accuracy on the ball. In fact, we used to knock him for his distribution and wish it was better.
That's true.
I don't wish it was better than what he's been serving up. This is twice now. Once where he got a little, because this is his first ever assist. By the way,
it is,
which is crazy, but he did exactly the same play from the other day. Plus one more pass.
I thought some very a big shift though, too, because we were not playing out of the back because of the difference in personnel that we had yesterday.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the distribution that he is having from a goal kick. They're excellent. So far this season, Brad Guzan, have yourself a season.
Because
he is, I have nothing to say.
The long ball was effective yesterday. I think that has less to do with the personnel. Like, that's, we can build out of the back fine. I think it's the pitch, really. Mm-hmm. And
he
took advantage of it, but color me impressed, man. Like, I was like, I was shouting at the rewatch this morning when I rewatched the match earlier this morning. I was like, I saw the ball and he just runs on it. I'm like, that's on a dime.
But I think for those of you who've been waiting around to see Josh Cohen get a start, I think you're going to be waiting for.
Unfortunately,
you might be waiting for a little bit.
Yeah,
man, we should have brought in serious competition for Brad a long time ago. Goodness gracious!
Yeah, and given him a mid-season Achilles tear. Yeah,
let's not shut up. We're not speaking.
I'm kidding.
No,
it's not funny.
This is great. I'm so happy for him that if this is to be it, probably is. Hey man, you want to go out like this? You've done yourself proud. You've done the club proud. You can retire and feel pretty good about it.
Better than to go out like,
knock on wood,
like
nothing else happens.
Injury that I was.
This is
saying.
The way to go out.
Way
after
better.
What a career!
Yeah,
what he's had.
Oh yeah.
I mean, from Villa to here, like. I'm so
to be
happy.
Fair,
he only scored his
own goal. He scored himself a goal when he was playing for Villa. So that was
cool. The only thing I feel bad is that, like, he came up in the middle of the Tim Howard era, right? And never really had a big shot at the U.S. national team net because he was always behind Tim Howard.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I mean, I'm
and that's unfortunate when you're in the shadow of greatness. Like, it's kind of like, if I'm going to make it like another analogy to another sport, tennis, boy, is it real hard to come up when Roger Federer was at his best.
Right.
When Nadal and Djokovic, who I hate, like there's players that are just 2% less, just right there.
And it's not their fault because that doesn't make them poor.
Yeah, you're right. That's
for
a really
Brad,
good
it doesn't make him a poor keeper. It just
no. No. Like
if Tim Howard is operating at 100% and Brad is at 95, you're still going to get Tim
Howard
for the national
was the
team.
He was the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
We're going to be excited for Brad having the season that he's having. And
absolutely.
This is how I prefer to send a legend out. 100%. It sucked to lose Joseph the way we did.
Yeah.
This is going to feel really good.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he's going to stay involved with this club. He loves this. Yeah. He loves this. There's a man. You know, maybe he hasn't been at his best sometime. One thing you can never question is his commitment to
and
this
loyalty
club.
To the
badge, man. Right. To the badge. The crest as well. USA, he plays with more heart and passion and commitment than anyone. All right. Moving on. Number five. I don't understand Etienne coming on.
I don't know.
Wasn't even listed on the availability report. So I guess he's still struggling.
Maybe.
But he wasn't listed.
Yeah, but was it with Firmino? Was his performance the last time? Because we did really rag on Firmino's performance the last time. No, we did. It wasn't great.
I know.
So
is
that the option? So you're saying, okay, so he had a really poor showing the last time. So throw Etienne.
There's the justification. I hear you.
I don't have a justification. I'm
wondering the justification for like we're trying to get in Gonzo's head. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
Could that be the reason? With that reasoning. Maybe. Okay. I still disagree with it, but I could go with that reasoning. It's fair.
So two things that I know of. Number one, you know, Danny Rios, they said he had a little bit of like a calf issue or something like that.
Struggling with that?
He didn't travel with the team. And I think he only had a couple of training sessions. And I think that might've been why they just said, you know what? We're not going to rush it.
He wasn't even listed on the availability report as far as injuries and stuff. He wasn't even there. It's weird. Just listing, Silva and Yorgos.
Well, he could have been available for selection, but he was not selected to go up with the 22.
Okay.
Like that's the thing. That's so like, odd. He's not injured, but like, I think right now, because we also have Luke Brennan on a two-way contract, and Luke Brennan has been playing very well on the twos. You know, maybe that was the safer bet as far as like your extra attacker, even with Gigi out. And knowing that we may have to ask more of him depending on how long Gigi is going to be out with his bone bruise, right? Like you can play on a bone bruise, but it doesn't make it heal faster if you do.
True.
Right. So like,
true.
You know, the decision that you make is like, do you rest him another week? Do you rest him two more weeks? Cause it could, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, cool. And then, you know, Jamal, he's got, you know, some knocks and injury history too. So like, does it make sense to burn him on a match like this, where he's not fully integrated to the squad and you're playing on a weird pitch and he doesn't know where everybody else is going to be yet? That's kind of a recipe for exacerbating anything that's wrong with you, is, you know, coming on for your first match, being in that kind of a situation.
Right.
Going to the Firmino versus Etienne decision. Yeah. The thing I heard was Etienne's better defensively, supposedly.
No.
I don't know.
It just, obviously it just, Etienne came on and did what Etienne does, and which is very little. Did it look to you guys like Jamal was pulled up a little bit when he came off of that? After he scored, he looked a little bit labored.
Hopefully
when he was walking,
gassed, cramped.
Well, there was a tweet earlier today that Doug also retweeted from Jamal saying he went to get an MRI and left with back pain.
Yeah, I was wondering because he was in an all out, full on sprint to get that ball from Mascara, and after he scored he did not look 100% comfortable,
and Jamal
so
posted
not
that on his personal Insta and then took it down.
Okay.
Hope he's all right. That's gonna kill me. I'm gonna be so gutted once we get depth and then our depth is injured.
If our first and second is down, then we can look, we're gonna have some trouble the next couple of games.
That's not fair.
No. I also think they didn't pull in Firmino, because what they wound up doing with bringing Etienne in there is they moved Thiago over to more of a false nine.
right
type play. So they're looking to get the ball to Thiago for scoring like that. You know, I just didn't necessarily Firmino's game. Right.
It's another. We're faced with another one of these situations, whether it's international break or injuries. We're faced with having to like make up a lineup. We're having to like make up how to make up a formation. And we're just, I know that as a club, we're kind of just a little bit tired of that. We're tired. Yeah. Like you said, our depth, we were so excited to finally have it. And now our depth is potentially injured. So now we have to make it up again. And we need some consistency, and we need some wins. We need to string together a couple of really good results. And if we're dealing with missing players for whatever reason, we're not going to get that. Yeah. And that's where things start to get a bit like, damn, we are right here. Where it's like the cusp is right there. We can fucking great.
All that being said, like to go up and play on City Field with that crappy, like y'all can say what you want about the turf at the Benz. I'd rather play on the turf at the Benz than that piece of trash.
Yeah, I hate looking down and I'm like, is it difficult to track the ball when you clearly have such a different in change? Like you can look at that, you're like, that's the fucking infield covered in grass.
Yeah.
Like there's no way that doesn't fuck with you. And it's short and it's narrow.
Sidelines either. Like it was like, oh, here's the grass and then here's the fucking sand.
Now,
like,
would we be having the same conversation if we'd won? Probably not, but at the same, I don't disagree with that. No, I think we would be having it. No, I think we would. Even if we had one, we'd be like, yes, we won, but that field still fucking sucks. Anyway, it was an average day at the ballpark. Let's put it that way.
But losing, if we just keep losing nines,
it's not good. We're going to have another shit season. So
if
we keep losing our nines,
we're going to get
trading.
Zero.
Yeah, we can't keep trading for backup strikers. We don't have enough money and we don't have enough roster spots. So we just have to deal. So it's like, yeah, if we have Gigi and Jamal, and then what do we do? What are we going to do?
I'll say this as a final thought.
What you got?
And Mike Rickard, thank you for the comment on Twitter, kind of agrees as far as why Firmino didn't get subbed on.
Uh-huh.
I hear both of your arguments. It's kind of not his game.
Right.
Push back on a little bit of that, because any game is Firmino's game. Like he's kind of that like ace in the hole, joker, wild card, whatever analogy you want to use, that he can just find it. He can just plug and play. He's not clearly defined. And I think he might have made something happen. Maybe not. But that's the best reason I have. I don't have clear strategic. Obviously, he would do this better. I just think he might have come up with a moment of magic. That's it.
And I can
be that magic man. It might not have happened. So I'm not crashing down.
We've seen that like
on Gonzo
one time.
For this, but
I don't know if I agree with that. We've seen that one
I've
time.
Seen it a,
I've
seen
less,
it
quite a bit.
I've seen it plenty of times. Maybe not with the first team.
Right. Okay, fine. I buy that. You go to more of the twos matches and you follow that a little bit more closely than I do. I hear you. But in the preseason, what I saw of Firmino was just like a little bit just less
present.
It was
great preseason. Are you kidding me? He had a great
No,
preseason.
I'm not kidding you. I don't know. We didn't
watch the same preseason then.
Maybe I think the thing I fault Gonzo for is that this match was there for the taking, the way that we had been playing, and Firmino's a considerably better finisher.
I don't disagree.
He needed that instead of
unfortunately what Etienne does, what he always does, which is he mishandles the ball when it's at his feet, or in this case, head.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it either.
Decision maker in that last final.
And I don't know why we still have him.
But that's all I got to.
That's all.
Say
no,
on
I, agree.
I don't think
agree.
This was
we
a terrible
had to buy
match.
Out Eric okay. Lopez, so we couldn't buy him.
Oh,
out.
That's right. No, no, no. You're right. So yeah.
We'll just have to deal with it.
That part we don't know. We'll just have to say, well,
we just got to hope that Gigi gets healthy and is okay. And same with Jamal, because you just can't play soccer without a proper nine.
No,
you just can't. They're at a premium around the world. Strikers are everything. People that score goals. That's what they do for a living is score goals. Yeah, you can get goals out of the way, but you got to, especially for this team, we need that nine. That any season that's been poor,
and
we haven't had it.
That's
right.
Exactly. We've shown how much we need it.
All right, y'all.
All right.
Thank you very much for listening. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the women's pod that we've been putting out. We had a couple hundred listens on that. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
It's important.
Yeah, pretty wonderful.
For the growth of this sport and the game and the women's game. It's really, really important. It's something that we all need to get behind. and do our part. And our part is going to matches and listening to content, watching content,
buying merch,
supporting strong women in the game. And, you know, it's if you build it, they will come. And we saw that this weekend. Yep. Listen to the part two of the women's football forum for more info on that. We will be back. Who we got up next? Who's coming? We got a home game, right?
We got a home game against the team I hate the most.
Philadelphia on a Sunday at 2:30 in the afternoon. So that
we get we do get to celebrate one of my favorite people, and we do get to have a bagel brunch gate. So I'm kind of excited.
Lovely.
About that. Yeah.
Clarify.
It is a good friend of mine. It's a good friend of mine's birthday, and what we do on Sunday mornings is it's a family thing, right? You have bagels and lox, and you know, Sunday New York Times. Like, that's how I grew up having breakfast on Sundays. So next Sunday, that's what she wanted for her birthday. So we will be having a bagel gate.
Yeah. So So good thing though, we get to string together a couple of home games. So if we're still trying to figure out what attack we're gonna have right now, maybe it's a good thing we're gonna be at home. I don't want us to lose at home, since that's where we seem to have the best opportunity to win. Just a couple, and then we got Chicago again, so you know, could be a couple of games where we could have
a string together result, Cincinnati
at home the next one after Philadelphia, so that's not gonna be easy, obviously, but but we've got some stuff that maybe we can do. So, we'll see what happens.
Well, everybody bring your driver's license next week. Make sure you got that on you. They're checking those at the door, making sure that we're authentic fans here. You know, and very
make sure they say you're from ITP. Otherwise, you don't count. You're only here for the party.
That's right. That's never going to get old, is it?
Whatever. No.
Fuck Jim Curtin.
That keeps on. All right, y'all. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for supporting Mason.
And the horse you rode in on.
And the horse you rode in on. Thank you for supporting Mason Mill and us and Fan TV. Make sure you join the Fan TV Discord. That link will be in the show notes, and the website for Mason Mill will also be in the show notes. All right. We will be back next week for Five Takes episode. I do not believe we'll have a five aside, since the women's part two is kind of taking care of that this week, but we will be back the following week with a five aside, and then we got some other cool stuff coming along with some collaborations with some other supporter groups and some stuff as well. Still working on the unified match. We got a lot of cool shit coming, so appreciate everybody listening to all the old content, the new content, all the content. It really does mean a lot to us. So we'll be back in a week's time. Until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Row. I was practicing.
That was a very sexy sign off.
That was hot, hot cat.
Hot cat.
Hot cat on a hot tin pod.